News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, I'm sitting here watching, by the way, during the break, as our own Senator Tommy Tuberville was grilling Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Milley, General McKenzie from CENTCOM. And apparently they've just adjourned. Literally, the gavel went down just as I came on the air. But what I couldn't hear, and I was trying to get to it, but I knew I was coming on the air and I couldn't miss my cue, was literally Senator Tuberville just stepped out of the lanes that they have been in, and you could see the look on Secretary Austin's face when he did it. Now I've got to go back and find that answer. He said, just one more thing, Mr. Secretary. Do you support dishonorable discharges for troops who do not get the COVID vaccine? And it looked like Secretary of Defense Austin was ready to crawl under the table. But he began to give one of those long-winded answers about how they have the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They have other non-judicial forms of punishment. Separation can be one of them. But he did not say if he supports it. I don't know if he did, because I literally was coming on the air. And so I'm going to find that answer for you, because I know it impacts a lot of you people listening in the audience. We got a lot of folks with military families. We got a lot of folks with jobs right now. Still some green suiters that are listening in the audience that are out there at Redstone Arsenal. So yeah, it's that's an answer I got to go back and dig up. But that literally was happening as I was coming on the air. That's how fresh that news is. So give me a chance. I'll find the answer best I can. So Copper, we're going to have some clips. I got it up there on the board for you, and we'll hold those till we get back after the next segment. But so you get the whole thing about civilian leadership. I mean, what separates us from other countries in that regard? I mean, I assume that's something that you're familiar with. But what are your thoughts on it?
Actually, break it down for me again.
I can do that. So yeah, one of the things that separates us from so many other nations is that our military has to answer to the civilian authorities. And our founding fathers designed it that way because they did not want the potential for like a military coup, because the leadership of the military has no accountability. So certain positions like chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is a confirmed position. The U.S. Senate has to confirm them. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs is not just allowed to send troops where he wants to. He has to coordinate through the Secretary of Defense, who is a civilian, who coordinates directly with the president. The chairman's going to talk to the president. They're going to be in meetings. They're going to be in the Situation Room. He's going to have impact. He's the chief advisor on military policy. But the SecDef, the civilian, is the one who really has that role. And it keeps us from being in a position like other nations where the military literally overthrows the elected officials when they seem to be getting out of the military's view of what should be good governance. And that's not where we want to be. So that's the deal.
That sounds good. But now we're in the opposite position, I guess, where an incompetent civilian authority is destroying everything that the military has tried to work for to protect our country.
And that happens. And woke policies, like I've been talking about, get roped into it. On the one hand, that's frustrating. I'll say this, but it's kind of like what I said one time to a jury as an attorney. I got up there and I said, I know some of you believe that the court system is kind of jacked up, that there's times when you look at it and go, wow, this does not seem the way it should be. And people will complain all the time. Look around the world. It's still the best judicial system in the world. You still have more fair representation possibilities here in the United States courts than you would in any other country in the world. And that's first world and second world and third world countries. But all said and done, I say that to say, I may not like President Biden, I may not like his policies, but I recognize the system is still better. And we have to keep that in mind. Our constitutional provisions, the manner in which our government is created, the fact that the military is not a branch of government, it is indeed subject to the accountability of the civilian authorities over it, that is still the best design, in my opinion. As frustrating as it may be, it's still the best design. Now, where I think we miss out sometimes too, is when those folks who are in the military don't get out of the military and then choose to serve in elected positions, because that's so necessary to be able to relate, not so you can carry biases into it, but so you can carry a deeper understanding into it. And I think that's an important piece too. And we've got some running for office right now. We got some who are in office right now. There's more veterans in Congress now than there have been in quite a while, most of them on the Republican side. And I'm glad, but we could use more. And all you retirees in the community out there, think about that. we could use you. We need some people who can speak to that experience and give that perspective. There's times when it's super necessary. Not only that, but the discipline you bring, the willingness to work long hours that you bring, and the fact that you'll face a hardship or stare down a bad situation. Yeah, we need that too in public office. All right, folks. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here on the Powerhouse Talk Station for North Alabama. And the biggest show in the afternoons in North Alabama is this one, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, with an audience full of right side ruffians, folks who do not just sit idly by and let things happen. They sit around and think through the processes and decide, not on my watch, we're not letting that happen. And man, I love this audience. I get some of the best feedback from you guys. And then I get my trolls. I get those who, you know you're doing something right when the trolls don't like you, and they sit there with a little keyboard courage and they start summoning up a little nasty thing they'll say to you on social media, and it just makes me laugh. Makes me chortle, Copper. Makes me chortle. But hey, Copper, go ahead and chortle. You like that word? Is that a good one?
Oh, that is a good word.
It's a good word. It's like a great Scrabble word. It also causes some people to stop and go, what did you just say? What do you mean by that? But hey, listen, Copper, go ahead and get clip two ready and let me know when you've got it. So I'm going to spend some time here. You're ready? God, you're just like on top of it. Okay, so here's the deal. I said the triple dipper for the day. The triple dipper, three storylines you got to know. Number one is the military is too often just considered a tool for liberals. It's just something that they use to get to their ends, you know? It's not for fighting wars and not for defending our nation's interests. It's just that thing that we have that, oh, we can use that to experiment with. Or, oh, we should use that to make sure that we keep, those nasty Republicans in check. Or, whatever. And it's too often, and it's ridiculous. I hate it when the military becomes an experimentation site for social policy issues. But I do love the fact that Senator Tommy Tuberville got elected, no political experience, but he had certainly been around the block when it comes to leading organizations, having large numbers of folks to work with, trying to make snap decisions. I mean, you try to make a snap decision on what play to call next on a sideline when you're fourth and goal. I'm just telling you, he's got the ability to think through things and move on them. He's also, because of that background, I think he's pretty aggressive if you get down to it. Sounds like a right side ruffian. And if you want to hear clip two, so right now, they've just concluded and they may be going tomorrow again, but they just concluded the Senate Armed Services Committee hearings with Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, General Milley, and General McKenzie, and it was pretty eye-opening. Well, our own Senator Tuberville was on that committee, and he had some comments just prior to it starting, which is clip two. Go ahead and play clip two.
Mark Milley set to testify in front of the House Armed Services Committee tomorrow following the report that he made those phone calls to Chinese officials saying that he would warn China of any attack by the United States in advance. We also have a testimony from the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on the horizon. Your thoughts on what comes out of these testimonies?
We've been preparing this, Maria, for a couple of weeks now. They're trying to brush this underneath the carpet and get it to go away. It's not going away. We're really not after the military. The military did an excellent job. Now, we're going to ask tough questions of Milley, McKenzie, and Austin. The thing that we want to do is we want to go after not the snake, but the head of the snake, and that's Joe Biden. Joe Biden made this decision, made it on his own. Most of his generals told him, don't do it. Let's don't do it this way. If we're going to get out, let's do it the right way. But he would have no part of it. He tuck and ran. He put our people in jeopardy. He left people behind enemy lines, and he put our allies in a tough spot. So we'll find out something this week, actually tomorrow afternoon, from the generals and just see what they say. But it wasn't their fault. They went along with it, and that's what I'm going to hold them accountable for. This was Joe Biden's fault from day one. He wanted to get out, and we're going to nail him to the wall on this.
Oh, I mean, when's the last time you heard a U.S. senator say, we're going to nail him to the wall on this? And And it's something you actually agree with. I mean, it actually, you like that copper that just got to you?
Yeah. He's like Jello. He just slips away from your questions.
Oh, like nailing Jello to the wall, you're saying? Yeah. Well, and I hope that's not true, because one of the things he just said, one of the first things out of his mouth in that comment was he said it's not going away. And I'm so glad to hear it, because there are so many of us in this audience, so many people around the nation, so many people still in uniform and out, those who served in Afghanistan or had family members served in Afghanistan, or for that matter, just see an injustice, who cannot believe this went down the way it did. It does not need to go away. Let's be honest. The military is too often just a tool for liberals. And in this particular case, what we had was the fact that literally President Biden came into office and began doing everything he could to strip Trump's policies and Trump's name, for that matter, off of anything that was left behind, to include the exit from Afghanistan. Now, you may say, but Phil, Trump wanted to exit Afghanistan too. Sure he did, on a conditions-based withdrawal, a means by which that could happen in a controlled environment and the opportunity to leave with honor and perhaps even leave a presence force there. Nothing but a force projection force there for contingency ops and the ability to maintain our intelligence and surveillance capabilities in that theater. 2,500 people. We're talking about a brigade, literally on site, and that's it. And yet, President Biden would have none of it. So he shut down Bagram, pulled out the troops, and then went, oh, shoot, we forgot about the Americans that I said we'd get out first. Well, I'm just telling you, it's a mess. And the president needs to be held accountable for it. And I'm so glad to hear Senator Tuberville say, we are not going to let this go away. It needs to not go away. There needs to be some accountability. But folks, I mean, it goes on from there. I mean, just today, some of the testimony was extremely interesting. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, she was wearing them out. And you know, some of it, I hear it, and like, you know, Senator Josh Hawley, he was asking questions, and it was just, to me, it felt like theater. I mean, he's a Republican, but it felt like all he was doing was just trying to swipe at the Democrats. And then you heard, it was hard, but I did listen to part of Senator Elizabeth Warren, and hers was just patently just biased. But Marsha Blackburn did a great job of asking hard questions that Democrats wouldn't ask, but needed to be asked, but doing it in a way that didn't offend, you know, all listeners. And she literally asked, by the way, she said, General Milley, did you speak to, and she named authors, Bob Woodward, is it Robert Acosta, I think, that they wrote the book that's coming up that has things about Trump. There were two other books she named. She named their authors. The thing that got me was that Milley appeared caught off guard, and he answered every one of them, yes, I spoke to them before their book. Yes, I spoke to them and gave them content for their book. Yes, I spoke to them. And then she went on to say, well, what part of leaking do you approve? And he said, I don't leak. And she said, well, you just told us that you would not speak to us about things you've said to the president, but you went to these authors of these books and you gave them information about your conversations with the president. To which he tried to say, I don't know that I gave them. He said, well, did you give them information about your conversation with senior staff members of the president? Well, yes, I did that. And you don't know about the president's conversation? Well, I don't believe I did. You could tell that he was scrambling in his mind, thinking, I didn't expect this question. Am I saying something wrong? Folks, it was amazing to watch. But there were so other things, too. Senator Tom Cotton flat out asked, and you may recall on this show, I have said before, way back when Afghanistan first happened, I said, on Afghanistan alone, Milley and Austin need to resign. I still feel that way. I do. Because they did oversee one of the biggest military debacles. And they said today they recognize the war did not end in a capacity that they felt like was in the nation's best interest. They said they felt like they did as much as they could in terms of the airlift, but the airlift was caused by the way the exit took place. So Senator Tom Cotton flat out asked, are you going to resign? To which Milley bowed up hard. And I thought his answer, you could tell his answer was prepared. I felt like it was prepared. He says he's not going to resign. He said, my job is to provide advice. The president does not have to agree with that advice. It would be an incredible political act of defiance for a commissioned officer to just resign because my advice was not taken. Okay, I hear that. But at the same time, it also says a lot if the military actions under your command, under your direction, if they are A, not heeded, then obviously you're not needed at that point. Or if they are poorly executed, the buck should stop with you. And I do believe that the question about whether you intend to resign, while there may be a defiance on the part of General Milley, that his time in, service, which has been stellar for 42 years apparently, has finally sort of met its demise by having stayed on too long. Secretary Austin was asked the same thing. Do you intend to hold anyone accountable? Is there anyone who will resign? Is there anyone who is going to wind up having to be held accountable for the things that have happened in Afghanistan? And his answer was more obfuscation and the ability to, or inability to say that they would. But the interesting things were, as you went through the whole storyline, folks, this is a big doings, all right? I'm talking right now about the military being used as a tool for liberal ends. In this case, this portion, and I'm going to get into some more things in a minute, but in this portion I'm talking about Afghanistan, what we have is that General Milley and General McKenzie have said clearly that they did recommend leaving a troop presence in Afghanistan, a small one, 2,500 or so. They believe that in the absence of that, it would have degraded the Afghan military's ability to fight back, and it did. And that's a direct contradiction of what President Biden said. If you remember, President Biden did an actual interview with ABC News' George Stephanopoulos last month and said he couldn't recall getting any such recommendations. Well, today, the generals were not going to take that. They weren't going to be the ones who were thrown under the bus. They were under oath, and so they literally said, in fact, the way they worded it, General Milley said, I won't share my personal recommendation to the president, but I will give you my honest opinion. And my honest opinion and view shaped my recommendation. Okay. And I recommended that we maintain 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. Just the opposite of what the president of the United States said in the aftermath. So either A, Biden lied, or B, Milley's lying now, or B, Biden just can't remember. Now, there's also the question of Bagram Air Base. Secretary Austin said that he felt like it was unfeasible, it was not feasible, to maintain Bagram Air Base. Go ahead, Copper, go ahead and, well, we're going to have a short break here in a second, but I want to have clip three ready when we get back. So let's move towards that short break and get that out of the way so we can come back and we're going to have clip three when we get back. Because it's important that we understand the big picture here about what not having a Bagram Air Base has done to us in the region. General Keane has some observations on that. I respect his opinion greatly, and when he speaks, it seems to carry some weight. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that, and then I'm going to get into some things that are going to boggle your mind. Things like, do you know what kind of woke policies are being mandated across the military right now? Yeah, well, I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We got plenty more where that came from. We're in the Triple Dipper, and Triple Dipper number one. Is the military too often just a tool for liberals? We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you real quickly about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. Did you hear the pre-recorded ads a moment ago? Just know this, I know them personally. Frank and Jane Brown, my good friends, own and run Otter Creek. It's like an oasis in the middle of Alabama. It is unbelievable. It will blow your mind. Just go to check out their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com. You'll quickly see why they're so good. They're so incredible. They were featured in Garden and Gun magazine. Why Donald Trump Jr. came there to stay overnight for a hunt not long ago. I mean, it's that kind of place. But you can also have a wedding venue there. You can have incredible meals there. You can do, you know, quail and pheasant hunting there. They got the guides, the guns, the dogs. Anyway, it's an amazing spot. If you want to have a corporate retreat, you could do it there. OtterCreekFarmstead.com is the website. All right. Hey, listen, Copper, was it clip three? I think I said clip three. Is that correct? Did I say clip three? Yes, I did, I believe. Yes. And you say you're ready on it? Okay, so here's the deal. Right now, one of the things that I was talking about in the Triple Dipper, I'm covering, spending a lot of time today on the fact that the military is too often just a tool for liberals. They will use it to their means, despite whether or not the ends are justifying that. They will do whatever it takes to experiment with social issues in the military. They'll do whatever it takes to radically deal with their own personal agendas in using the military. They'll use it to defend themselves up on Capitol Hill for months on end, but then forget to fund it forever and leave the troops sitting there sleeping in a parking deck. They'll do what it takes to make sure Trump's name is erased from the board, so to speak, but troops will die in the process, which we saw in Afghanistan's withdrawal. Folks, it's a mess, and I hate it when that happens. As someone who served for 30 years, who had parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who served in the generations before me, and have a son now who's serving, I'm just telling you, it pains me to see experimentation on social issues and wokeness with the military. Well, one of the things that happened in this blanket desire to get out of Afghanistan at all costs, because we just had to, without any, you know, concern for how the military was going to play out, the military mission was going to play out, we sacrificed so much in doing so. Not only did we lose those 13 service members' lives and about 160 Afghan civilians' lives, and we abandoned other Americans in the process, we lost the opportunity to have eyes and ears on the ground in a nation that is now run by a terrorist organization. And General Keane said something in clip 3 that confirms what I'm just saying, that we have no intel capability in that region. Now, go ahead and play clip 3, Copper.
Listen, we need some kind of capability in the region to be able to watch the growing epicenter for terrorism that Afghanistan will become. We lost our 7 military bases. We lost our multiple CIA bases. And coming all the way from the Persian Gulf, or all the way from an aircraft carrier in the Indian Ocean, is thousands of miles away, and it doesn't give you much accurate intelligence dealing with what's happening on the ground every day.
When you lose that forward presence,
back to this decision.
When we lose that forward presence, when you try to go to this over-the-horizon capability. Well, over-the-horizon capability is only necessary when you have no other options. Over-the-horizon is what you do when you don't have a base. We had a base. We sacrificed it. We spent millions, untold millions, building that. When I was there in the beginning of the war, Bagram Air Base was nothing but a bunch of tents and like moon dust sand. It was just crazy dirty and barbed wire, and that was about, you know, it was something to see it growing up. But my understanding of seeing pictures of it, at the very end when we turned it over, it was just, I mean, it was a full-on hardstand base with all the facilities you could imagine. And we walked away from it. But what it gave us in that ability to work within that area of operations was a forward present site, a staging area, an opportunity to have eyes and ears on the ground, and we don't have that now. But, you know, it goes deeper than that. So the decisions that were made, purely partisan political decisions by President Biden in this regard. One of the things that I look at and think, okay, they keep talking about how, well, the Afghan military just collapsed. We couldn't have known. Well, General McKenzie, he testified today, by the way, that he made a recommendation in the fall of 2020 under the Trump administration, which he believes also had intentions to withdraw all U.S. troops at one point, saying at the time he recommended leaving up to 4,000 troops. And he said, quote, today, I have a view that the withdrawal of those forces would lead inevitably to the collapse of the Afghan military forces and eventually the Afghan government. In other words, what he said was back in fall of 2020, he was advocating for leaving a troop presence because he believed not to do so was going to wind up having a degrading effect upon the Afghan military. Guess what? It did. When you suck the life out of their ability to sustain operations, when you suck the life out of their ability to have close air support for their military operations on the ground, when you suck the life out of their ability to have intelligence capability that they relied upon us for, I'm not telling you, folks, it's a mess. We're going to come back after this break right now, and I'm going to tell you about some other woke things that are happening. Input that was given to the president and ignored, but then also just things like, you know, why are we doing social justice in the military? Why are we hiring diversity officers in the military? Why are we looking at whether or not they can eat vegetarian-based meat products? Ugh, it's just a mess. All right, folks, top of the hour, first hour gone. I'm going to come back and I'm going to stay on this military piece of our triple dipper for the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and, yep, just plain right. We'll be right back.